for reassurance.
"Easy, Tango. I know it's been a long one," he murmured.
The horse stilled, and Lucas returned to his task, his mouth a thin line in a face dusted with 2 days' growth. The straight brim of a brown beaver felt cowboy hat shaded steel-gray eyes and skin bronzed from a life outdoors. A hot wind blew from the mountains to his left, carrying with it the scent of rain. A band of plum-colored clouds pulsed with flashes of lightning where the peaks met the sky. Still a ways off, he calculated, at least 4 or 5 hours, which increased the chances that the storm might spend itself before reaching him. Not that he'd mind a night in the rain. He had his tent and his bedroll, and his saddlebags were loaded with sufficient gear to stand him for weeks. He couldn't predict how long it might take to track the herd of feral horses he was pursuing, and on expeditions like this he traveled well prepared for anything nature or man could throw at him. Lucas's attention fixed on a distant spire of brown dust. He lowered the spyglasses and glanced at the heavens. It would be dark in a few more hours. He eyed the old mechanical pilot's watch on his wrist, not because he had much use for time anymore, but to help with reckoning. The dust was maybe 5 miles off, and he didn't want to blow out his horse on the trek. Lucas would need the animal's speed to lasso his targets, and that was the priority. He nodded to himself. At a moderate pace, he could make it to the dust by twilight. Lucas adjusted the M4A1 assault rifle strapped across his back and felt automatically for the stock of his Remington 700 Police DM308 caliber rifle in its scabbard by his right knee. Not that he would need them, assuming the dust was the herd. There wasn't much to forage in the arid gulches, all the homes having long ago been abandoned and stripped of anything of value. But that didn't stop looting parties from Mexico from making their way north. The situation south of what had once been the border was as bad or worse than it was here, and based on what he'd seen firsthand, life was cheap to the border scavengers. They lived hardscrabble from anything they could steal, and would kill a man just as soon as look at him, gringo or Mexican, didn't much matter. That was one of the reasons Lucas avoided the deserted highways that spanned the area. Other than the pavement being hard on Tango's hooves, there were the depressing hulks of rusting vehicles dotting the road, left where they'd run dry. Even now, 5 years after the day everyone had said would never come, the highway was a threat, and there were still scum who lay in wait to ambush travelers, often desperate families trundling carts loaded with their possessions, heading toward somewhere they'd heard might hold better prospects for a life. Fuel had long ago degraded and was unusable, even diesel, leaving survivors to cobble together whatever they could for transportation. Bicycles, animals. It didn't matter as long as it enabled them to keep moving.
"Fool's errand," he spat, and stopped at the dry sound of his voice.
Talking to his horse was one thing. Holding conversations with himself was a warning sign. One of many he was alert to. The fear that he might be cracking up was constant, since things had come unraveled. Lucas made a clicking sound from the corner of his mouth and Tango plodded onward, the horse's footing unsure on the loose shale. The soft sough of the wind was the only sound besides Tango's clomping and an occasional snort. Lucas's senses told him he was alone, but he remained alert. His clothes blended with the backdrop, and he hoped his worn jeans, tan shirt, and plate carrier in desert camouflage made him a difficult target. Unlike in the movies, it was harder than hell to tag a moving figure from any distance, especially with a brisk wind. He grunted as they moved over a particularly difficult section, and he urged Tango forward, Lucas's lower back protesting the jolting ride. What he wouldn't have given for an ATV, or even a dirt bike, much less a four-wheel drive vehicle like his old truck. He'd loved that big Chevy. The truck, like his M4, had been a perk of his service as one of the youngest Texas Rangers in the history of the force, operating with the E Division out of El Paso. But the vehicle, like the organization, hadn't lasted, and it had been a sad day when he'd left it for dead in the high desert.